Islama Rasulullah. We were speaking on the subject of the Jesus of Christianity, and then we said that we would like to talk about the Jesus of Islam and see if they were in fact the same person, the same prophet, or the same individual. And what we find in Islam is that all of the prophets in Islam call to the oneness of God and the understanding that God does not permeate His creation, He is not a part of His creation, but rather that He is uniquely one, He is not like what He has created. And then, as such, He is to be worshipped and thanked and praised for His creation and for creating us. And the thank yous and the praises go to Him alone and not to something which He has created. Each and every one of the prophets of Islam called to this message of Tawheed, from the word Wahid, which means one, uniquely one. He is Ahad. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. Allah said in the Quran, say He is Allah, He is the uniquely one. Okay, and we want to come straight to the point, and we want to say, and this is a beautiful book. The book is called Just One Message. It's one that we use in our da'wah. And these books are available at most of the Islamic bookstores. If not, you can write to us at islamtomorrow.com. And our website has an order place that you can order books, tapes, and for those who are not Muslim, we have free Quran and support for them so that they can get a better understanding of the true message of Islam in the English language from those who have been both Christian and Muslim. And now the Just One Message, straight to the point. It says that on page 5, after the creation of Adam, just one original message has been repeatedly delivered to mankind throughout the history of humanity. So, to remind people about it and bring them back on track, many prophets and messengers, including Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them, were sent by the only one true God to convey the message. The message? The true God is only one. Worship Him alone and keep His commandments. Alright, now, we'd like to move down the page and notice that Adam preached the message of one God. Noah preached one God. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all of them preached this same message. And now, God sent these major prophets, as well as many other prophets and messengers, to accomplish several tasks or missions. And we'll mention at least 7. First of all is to receive guidance from God, and then to deliver it to these people of their nation, or what's called in Arabic their qawm. And the qawm of Adam, the qawm of Noah, qawm of Musa or Moses, all of these people were given revelation. They were given guidance through their prophet from God. The second point is to convey the message that God is one, and that to their qawm they understand that God is one. The third is to be a good example to their people so they can see how they are to behave. If I see you as a good example, then I can follow that and I can see how to behave. A very good example of this comes when we have difficulties and we don't know how to handle them. Perhaps the person is injured or hurt and then we don't know how to respond. Should we get angry? Should we fly off the handle? Or should we be patient? And we can see that beautiful quality in a person, then we learn how to respond. And children do this all the time. They look to their parents when something happens so that they know how to respond. And this is exactly the way that a prophet comes to us to be the example for us and how to behave under the various conditions. That's why the prophets, by the way, have to go through all of these trials and tribulations so that the people can see, okay, he's like me, he's suffering, and this is what he does, so this is what I'm to do. The fourth thing is to instruct their people to fear God and to keep his commandments. This is a healthy fear of God, through fear of their fact that if you break the commandments, that there will certainly be punishment. If not in this life, then there will be punishment in the next life. The fifth is to teach their followers the important things like religious and moral matters. The sixth is to guide those who deviated away by disobeying God or worshiping other than God, such as false gods or idols. The seventh point is to tell the people about their final destination. Now this is key, this is very key, is to talk about the final destination, the last day, and then what will happen so that they'll know what leads to paradise or what leads to hellfire. Because there is a resurrection, there is a final day, and that day is going to be for all of us. And so that's the seven key issues or points that the prophets brought to their people. And it is the same God who created those prophets. He created all the humans. He created every single animal, every single object that exists. In other words, it is this one true God who created the whole universe, including all nature and all that it contains, and He is the creator of life, He's the creator of death, and He's the creator of life after death. The oneness of this true God, the Creator, is clearly evident and easily traceable in the Holy Scriptures of the Jewish and of the Christians and of the Muslims and even other religions. So this is very important for us to focus on the Jesus of this message, because this is what we're talking about, the one message. And now, inshallah, I'd like to shift over to the other book that I wanted to refer to. This is the other website as well, called The True Religion. So if Sister Layla will put that up, and then I can just continue to talk to you on this subject. We do, as Muslims, believe in Jesus. But who is the Jesus that we believe in? And that is really the essence of our subject tonight. We believe in the Jesus, who is the Jesus of the miracle birth of Mary. And there is something Allah said in the Quran in Surah Baqarah. Say, and this is Allah saying, cool, telling us to say to the people, we believe in Allah, and that which has been revealed to us, and that which was revealed or sent down to Abraham and his son Ismail, Isaac, and to their descendancy, which is Jacob and the tribes, and that which has been given to Moses and Jesus, and that which has been given to all the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and to Allah do we submit. This is located in Surah Baqarah, Ayah 136. As Muslims, we believe in one creator and his prophets, just as we mentioned from the other book. And this book is essentially same thing. But what is it that we believe about Jesus? We can go down the page a little bit, Sister Layla, and let everybody see the rest of this. We want to talk now about the virgin birth. The virgin birth is that Miriam, she was, everybody, you need to scroll your page down. If you can see the page, just scroll down and you'll be able to read it. If you don't have the book, We Believe in Jesus, please write to us. We're happy to send it out. The book is free, and we'll even pay the postage for you. We don't ask for donations, especially not from our guests. I think that's very rude, and it's certainly not the way of any of the prophets, so therefore we try to follow suit. When we have the funds available, we mail out for free, and we ask that the Muslims who can support it, they should know how to do their job. You shouldn't have to tell them. Okay, now, this, I'm on page 3. We're talking about the story of Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, in the Noble Quran. It starts with the conception by his mother. She conceived inside of a womb, and Mary, she is, in fact, the daughter of a very famous family, which is the family of Imran. And she has been dedicated by her parents through being a child which is of the temple, or which is dedicated to the service of the temple. And as such, here's the story that follows. I'd like to recite this to you. It's from the third chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran. And the verses are, it's chapter 3, verse
2. Oh no, don't tell me he's going to disconnect again. We can't hear you. SubhanAllah, the sound is perfect too. Perfect sound. What's wrong with the disconnection?
When the wife of Imran said, "Oh my Lord, I dedicate to you what is in my womb for your service. So accept this of me. Indeed, you are the all-hearing and all-knowing." When she was delivered of her, she said, "I have delivered a female child, and Allah knew best what she brought forth. And the male is not as the female. And I have named her Mary, and I seek refuge with Allah for her and for her offspring from Shaitan, the outcast devil." So her Lord accepted her with kind acceptance and made her grow in good manner and entrusted her to the care of Zachariah. And whenever Zachariah entered upon her in the sanctuary, he found her with food. And he asked her, "O Mary, from where are you receiving this food?" She said, "It is from Allah. Indeed, Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills without measure." The Quran states that the Almighty Allah chose Miriam and purified and raised her above all other women of the world. This is mentioned in the following verses, and which is also in the same surah, Surah Imran, chapter 3, verse 42 and 43. "And when the angel said, 'O Mary, indeed Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the world. O Mary, be obedient to your Lord, prostrate yourself, and bow with those who bow in prayer.'" I'd like to make reference at this point to the fact that very clearly states in the Bible that those prophets and those who truly worshipped Allah in the old days, they used to fall on their face. They used to bow down to their Lord and fall upon their face. Falling on your face doesn't mean you just crash. It means that you prostrate, that you put your head down to the ground. Now let us note the birth of Jesus in the Quran and see if it compares to what people believe is the birth of the Jesus, is the birth of the Jesus of the Bible. Concerning the birth of Jesus, Allah says in chapter Miriam. Now this is the 19th chapter of the Quran, and we'll begin with, "And mention in the book the story of Miriam, when she withdrew from her family to a place toward the east, and she placed a screen to seclude herself from them. Then we sent to her our spirit, Jibril, Gabriel, the angel, and he appeared before her as a well-proportioned man. She said, 'Indeed, I seek refuge from you with Allah the Most Gracious. So leave me if you fear Allah.' He said, 'I am only a messenger from your Lord to announce to you the gift of a righteous son.' She said, 'How shall it be that I have a son while no man has touched me? Neither have I been unchaste.' He said, 'Even so, it will be. Your Lord said, it is easy for me, and we shall make him a miracle for mankind and a mercy, a rahmah from us. And it is a thing ordained.' And so she did, conceiving, and she withdrew with him, her child, to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, and she said, 'Ah, would that I had died before this, and I would that I had become a thing forgotten and out of sight.' Then the baby cried to her from below her, and saying, 'Grieve not, your Lord has placed a riblet beneath you, and shaped the trunk of the palm tree toward you, and it will drop for you fresh ripened dates.' So eat and drink and be consoled. And if you meet any human, say, I have vowed a fast to Allah, the Most Gracious, so I shall not speak this day to any human. Then she brought the baby to her people, carrying him. And they said, O Mary, indeed you have come with a monstrous thing, an amazing thing. Ya, O sister of Aaron, your father was not a man of evil, nor was your mother an unchaste woman. Then she pointed to the child. They said, how can we talk to the child in the cradle? And the child said, indeed, I am a slave, servant of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wheresoever I may be, and has joined upon me the salah, the worship, and the charity, the zakat, as long as I live, and he has made me dutiful to my mother, and not arrogant, and not unblessed. And peace be upon me the day that I was born, and the day that I shall die, and the day that I shall be raised back to life. Such was Jesus, the Son of Mary. This is the statement of truth about which they dispute. It befits not the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son. Glory be to him, subhanallah. When he decrees a matter, he merely says only kum, be, fayakun, and it is. And Jesus said, verily Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him alone. This is the right path. We find this in the Quran, chapter 19, verse 16 through 36. Let's take a moment to consider what we've heard. Let's take a moment to reflect and think back and see for the benefit of those who have read in the New Testament and studied the scriptures, if we find similarities in the story, and if we see why that the Muslims believe that they're in fact speaking of the same person of Jesus, which has been mentioned in the books of old. First of all, the name Jesus doesn't match. We're going to say immediately in Arabic, the name is Isa. But my name is Yusuf. In English, we know that Yusuf is Joseph. And Yusuf is the name used by the Jews to describe one of the 12 sons of Jacob, peace be upon him. The next to his last son was Yusuf, and his last was Benjamin, or Benjamin. Joseph, or Yusuf, is the one who was put into prison, and later became one of the emirs, or the leaders, in Egypt. So we know this story, and we know that this is the same Yusuf. If we have an Arabic Bible that belongs to the Jews, we see that his name is Yusuf, and that's Yah. Sin, fa, sin, Yusuf, sin, fa, sorry about that, can't spell my own name tonight. But what we know also is that if we look to the Bible and the Arabic language, we will find the same name in Arabic, and it doesn't say Jesus, it says Isa, and this is the same name mentioned also in the Quran. Likewise, if we look to the word in the Arabic Bible, both for the Arab Jews and for the Arab Christians, we find the word for Allah or Almighty God is what? The speaking in the cradle, or the speaking in the Bible, is not there in the Bible. It doesn't mention that the baby speaks. But we do find that. We do find that in the Quran. And he says, first of all, he speaks to his mother and tells her what to do, to grab the tree and shake it. The other thing he tells her to do is to eat the dates. Then he tells her that when she meets any people, tell them she's vowed a vow of silence, and just to refer to the child, which she does. So I think if you consider this, and that it's different, this is not in the Bible, but it doesn't contradict something that would be in accordance with a prophet. A prophet can do things that the rest of us don't do, although they're still people, but they have something that Allah gives them. Each prophet carries with them an identification badge, if you will, if you don't mind me use that term, something that he can prove who he is. And that was true of all of the prophets. Noah, peace be upon him, he had a proof, and that was when the water came down, it was obvious then that what he prophesied was going to happen. And so was Moses, a prophet, and he had a miracle with him, which was that the stick that he had became a snake, and then it became a stick again. And that he put his hand inside of his shirt and pulled it out, and it was white, and then it was like, they said, in the Bible that it was leprous, but in the Quran we don't have that. We have just that it was glowing or shiny like light, and then put it back inside of his vest and pulled it back out again. It was back to normal. And so these signs are like the ID badge. And then certainly when Moses parted the water, now we know that Moses didn't have the strength to go out there and move all that ocean, but in fact he was doing that by the permission of Allah. And likewise, we as Muslims agree immediately that Jesus did the miracles that he did, because this is also mentioned to us in the Quran. And so this is a part of the badge of honor of the prophets, that they have something to show the people that they are something, that they are sent by God to carry this special message. But at the same time, they are not God, but they are his servant or messenger. I love this expression, Rasul, or messenger, because it clearly equates immediately to the same thing mentioned in the Bible. Many of you are familiar with the teachings in the Bible. There's something there called epistles. The epistles, for instance, of John, first epistle, second epistle, and third epistle. What is an epistle? Well, if you grew up in Sunday school, you say, well, it's some of the books of the Bible. But in fact, it means a message. And the one who carries an epistle is called an apostle. And that's a messenger. And that's why you see sometimes in translation, they will say the apostle of Allah or the apostle of God. And they're talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's because he is a rasul. He is a message. And he's carrying the risala. And the risala means message. It's an apostle is rasul. So it works hand in glove. Additionally, I would like to also call your attention to something. For those of you who know about evangelical, have you heard the word evangel? The evangel of John the Evangelist. Have you heard this expression? And actually, that's coming straight from the Arabic language. Injil. Injil. What is Injil? That is exactly what we refer to the New Testament. It is the Injil of Isa. The good news of Jesus Christ. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, can we call him the Christ? Now, this is important. Can we call him the Christ? And let's learn from our next chapter. And we turn now to page 9 in the book that I'm reading to you. It's called We Believe in Jesus. It says, Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, ibn Maryam, the son of Mary. The church maintains that Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, is the only begotten Son of Allah, and that Allah himself consists of three parts, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, and all are at the same time. The Catholic Church further emphasizes that Mary is divine, or godlike, and she is the mother of God. That is the teaching in the Catholic Church, even until today. Islam rejects these notions in totality. Because Allah has said in the Quran, and we're going to read now to you from the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, that's chapter 5, verses 72, 73, 74, and 75. If you have a Quran handy, you'd like to look at it, this is a good time to pop it out and open it up to chapter 5, verse 72, and we begin. They surely disbelieve who say that Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. But the Messiah said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily, whoever ascribes partners to Allah, for him Allah has forbidden the paradise, and his abode is the fire. So for evildoers, that's the politics, there will be no helpers. They surely disbelieve who say that Allah is one of three in a Trinity. For there is no God except one true God, Allah. And if they do not desist from what they say, surely a painful torment will befall those of them who disbelieve. Will they not rather repent to Allah and seek forgiveness of Him? For Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. The Messiah, son of Miriam, was no more than a messenger of Allah. Many were the messengers that passed away before him, and his mother was a righteous woman. They both used to eat their food. And see how we make the signs, the revelations, clear for them, and again see how they are deluded away from the truth. And this is talking about those who claim that there is a Trinity, or that Jesus is the Son of God, or that Mary is the Mother of God. We're going to take a break, a couple of seconds, and be right back. You're listening to Islam tomorrow. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We're back. We're talking about the subject of the Jesus of Islam. We're on page 10 in the book called We Believe in Jesus. If you don't have the book, write to us. Email us. Visit us on the internet at islamtomorrow.com. Go to our order page and request the book, We Believe in Jesus. We're on the bottom of page 10. The Muslims contend that the miraculous birth of Jesus, alayhi salam, peace and blessing be upon him, this miraculous birth without a father does not make him God or a begotten son of God. Allah states clearly in the Quran as translated, now we're going to read from Surah Baqarah, and they say Allah has begotten a son. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Nay, to him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. All are subservient unto him, the originator of the heavens and the earth. When he decrees a thing, he says to it only, be, and it is, kun fayakun. This is in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 116, verse 117. Further, Allah says in the Quran, Allahu had, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakulhu kufuwan had. Say he is Allah, the unique, one alone. Allah, the eternal, absolute. He begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is none like unto him. The birth of Jesus was not any more supernatural than the creation of our father Adam in the first place. By the way, the verse I read to you was from the Quran, chapter 112, the entire chapter. Allah tells us in the Quran about Isa in this way. I'm going to turn now to page 12, if you're following along with me, and we're going to quote from Surah Al-Imran. This is, again, which is chapter 3 of the Quran, verse 59. And Allah said, the translation, indeed, the likeness of Isa, Jesus, with Allah is that of Adam, He created them from dust, created Adam from dust, and then said to him, be, and he is, kum vayakum. I would like now to back up and go to the statement that we began with was, can we say Jesus is the Christ? Because that was the question I asked before I read the chapter about Jesus, the Son of Mary. I had asked this question, can we say that? And, the mission of Jesus, I think is where we were. No, that's right. Jesus, Son of Mary. Because the statement that I read to you is said in chapter 5, okay? Chapter 5 of the Quran, it said, and I'm going to repeat, remember what it said, they surely disbelieve who say that Allah is the Messiah, Son of Mary, or Marian. Messiah. What is Messiah? Okay, when the Bible was translated from the Aramaic language, which is an identical language to Arabic, and to the Hebrew. These are phonetic languages. Okay? When they translated the word for Messiah to the from Aramaic or Hebrew into the Greek, they translated it to be Christos. Now understand that in the original, the word in fact was Messiah already. That is the correct word. So you're translating a word that you already have, Messiah, and it means the Messiah. It's the way we pronounce it in English, is a mispronunciation of the Hebrew Messiah. And when you translate that word to the Koine Greek, you have the word Christos. The word Christ is a corruption of the word Christos from the Koine Greek. So that is why it is acceptable for us as Muslims to say Christ, because it means the Messiah or the Messiah. And what does that mean? This is a beautiful word, and it comes from a word that Muslims use all the time. Whenever we wipe our, for instance, when we wash to make our prayer, we are allowed to wipe over our turban, if we have a turban on our head, or what's called an imamah. Or if the ladies are wearing the hijab and they would like to make wudu or the purification or ablution, they are allowed to just simply pass a wet hand over their hijab or over their socks if they've made the wudu on this before. They can wipe that. And in the Arabic language, that's called nest. Nest. Okay? And you can't probably hear that last H sound that I'm saying. Nest. Or from the same word. It means to touch, and that's exactly what Messiah comes from, the same word. In the Hebrew language, it means to touch, and it means to appoint or to anoint, to touch the head of someone or wipe their head, and that is how they used to choose a leader from amongst themselves, was through this anointing with oil. And the anointing of oil on the head was how they used to select someone to be a religious leader. And so in this case, it was predicted in the Old Testament, it was predicted in the Torah, it was predicted in the early writings and the revelations of Allah to mankind that he was going to send a Messiah. He was going to send one who was chosen, who was appointed, and who would be the Messiah or Messiah. Okay? Who is the Messiah? Isa, Messiah, Allah. He's the Messiah. He's the chosen one of Allah, and that is acceptable, and we do understand that. That is why we say, as Muslims, this is the Christ, this is the chosen Jesus, Isa, of Almighty Allah. So that's why we have that, because the word is the same, and if we find that word still in the Arabic, it's still in the Hebrew language. If you would like to look to the Arabic Bible, you will find that that is the same word used. I have two different Arabic Bibles printed in two different places, and they both use the same terminology, the same words. So this is a proof. And by the way, there are some out there who tried to make fun of the Muslims who were trying to make these connections, because some of our Muslim brothers and sisters are perhaps not well versed with Christianity, and so whenever they make a statement, if it has even the slightest mistake or flaw in it, then they use that as an opportunity to try to attack their entire work, and it's not fair. But in fact, what I've stated to you tonight is all verifiable. If you'd like to check these things out, we have it on the internet. If you're not able to find it at our website, you can always email me at sheikhyusuf@aol.com. And Sister Layla, to put that up there on the screen there, let everybody see it. I don't want to let go of the button, I'm afraid, but I'll lose the connection. You can put my AOL address up there. That's it exactly. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's Y-U-S-U-F. Sister, that's incorrect. It's Y-U-S-U-F. S-A-C-I-K-Y-U-S-U-F. And if you put an E in there, it's not going to get to me. Okay? Alhamdulillah. I'd like to continue. And I'm not going to be able to probably give you the whole text of everything tonight, but I would like to give you the mission and understand what's the problem. Then if the thing that I've showed you up to now is that we're saying as Muslims we believe in a Jesus that the Christians say they believe in, but we've noticed some of the differences here, and very clearly if there's a problem here in believing Jesus is a God or a son of a God and for a Muslim, and also that there's a Trinity. Now, before we go further, let's deal with that issue. Does the Quran mention the Trinity? And yes, it does, and it states flat out that we can't accept it. Now let's ask, is this in contradiction to the Bible? Immediately, many of the Christians will say, yes, absolutely. But on the other hand, I do have a concordance, the strongest concordance of the Bible. I challenge anyone to take a concordance of the King James Version of the Bible and find the word Trinity in there, and it doesn't exist. In fact, the concept of the Trinity came much after Jesus was gone. And in fact, it wasn't mandated, it wasn't something you had to believe until generations and generations after Jesus. And it wasn't until the official takeover by the Catholic Church in the year 325 that became a condition that you had to say it as a part of your belief and worship, that there are three, okay? So this is something foreign, totally foreign to the Bible and even to the works that came after the Gospel. And what came after the Gospel, of course, is the writings of Paul. Paul contributes 16 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Paul is either writing them or contributing to them to a substantial extent. And so for this we understand that more than half of the New Testament is actually by someone who came later who never met Jesus. Okay? And keeping that in mind, I would also like to remind you that just because the preacher says something and he says the Bible says it, that doesn't mean it's really there. I have firm belief that if we have the original Bible in front of us, we would find a lot of amazing things and understand it a lot better. So from the same Strong's Concordance, I will tell you that he numbered every single word in the whole Bible. Every word, he assigned it a number, and then he gave a definition in his dictionary in the back of that of his Strong's Concordance. In the back of it, he gave a definition. And the word for Son of God, he defined it as an expression that meant the relationship of one who is subservient to the other, like a nephew would be to an uncle, or the relationship of a sheep to his shepherd, or one who is a servant to his master. And if you gave this connotation to the sonship of Jesus to God, if you said that he was a servant to the master, meaning he's a servant of Almighty God, and that Allah is the master, and he's the servant, and he's only doing the will of the one who sent him, then you'll find that this does agree with what it says in the New Testament, and it does agree with exactly what it says in the Quran. So this might well be the key, the missing link, that we've been wanting to understand for so many centuries, and that's the fifth translation of the word sonship here. In fact, doesn't mean a biological son, but rather one who is a servant or a slave to a master and only does the bidding or does the will of the one who has sent them. And in fact, again, in the book of John, we see this narrated many times, that Jesus said, I do this not of myself, but rather of the one who has sent me. So I would like to remind myself and all of us that just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. And that's why we always, as Muslims, try to provide as many sources that you can check our sources to see where we came up with what we said. I'm not speaking of myself either tonight. I'm only saying what I have studied and what I've learned from my teachers and from the books, from the tapes, from the videos that I've been able to acquire over the last so many years and decades to try to educate myself about the subject of God and this life, the next life, and how to better myself in the next life. And this is what we should all be doing, and each of us is trying to do it in our own way, and we will eventually come to understand that the only way that can be correct is the way that's been prescribed or ordained for us by the one who created us in the first place. And another proof on that one I would like to mention to you is that Jesus, peace be upon him, is attributed to have said, if we can accept some of the New Testament, that in two places he tells, two different gospels, he tells his companions to pray as he's praying. And he's telling them what we call today the Lord's Prayer, and in it, very clearly, it states, God's will be done. His will, not our will, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This exact statement is the best way to explain Islam to a person who is a religious Christian, who has spent a lot of time trying to learn his religion and know about it. Ask them, do you agree that it should be God's will? And he has to say yes. Why? Because that is what the Bible teaches. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is what we as Muslims are saying, they're essentially the same thing. We are trying to do God's will. But how can man know God's will? It's only through his revelation, through his prophets and what they bring. The Christians are correct when they say that. If they say we can only know God through his Bible, I will say to you, yes, but what does Bible mean? What does Bible mean? We talked about Trinity. We talked about the word Injil. We talked about the word Jesus. Now let's talk about the word Bible. Is the word Bible anywhere in the Quran? I'll call your attention again to the fact that this word Bible is nothing but a translation. It is a translation to the Greek. The Koine Greek is Biblios. B-I-B-L-I-O-S. Biblios. And what does it mean? What does it mean? It simply means a book. That's all. Kitab. In the Arabic language, Kitab. And so, the people who follow the Bible, followers of the Bible, Ahl means followers or people of, Ahl Kitab, people of the book, or what? Bible. So these words, Bible and Kitab, are absolutely one and the same. There isn't any difference. So if you said they are Ahl Bible, or people of the book, either way you say it, you're saying the same thing. You're saying the same thing. And this means who? It refers to those people who believe in previous scripture or revelation, which includes the Jews, which includes the Sabians, and which also includes the Christians. So they are truly believers in the previous revelation, and as such they have a distinction above other people to us. And they are the closest to us in belief. But where they deviate, where they go astray, is when they begin to believe things that are not really there, or people's interpretations or understandings that are not really substantiated by the ancient text. So I'm going to caution now the Muslims and tell you there's no point for you to take the King James Version of the Bible or the NIV of version of the Bible, nor the Revised Standard Version, nor any other version of the Bible in the English language. There's no reason for you to take it and read it and commit it to memory and try to argue with people about this. I disagree very much with my Sheikh Ahmadinejad, whom I love very much and respect and honor him and his great work, but I disagree with him on the point when he mentions in his one book that is called The Combat Kit. And I don't agree with this book because he tells him there that you should get a Bible and then take this little booklet and glue it inside the front cover and then you're ready to argue with people about the book. This is not what we were taught in the Quran. In fact, we were told exactly the opposite. Do not argue with them except in a way that is better, and that does not mean manadara, it means mahadara. And there's a big difference. In Arabic language, the manadara is a debate, but a mahadara is an understanding and a discussion or a speech that brings about a better way for people to understand and interpret things. So as we say in Texas, you get a whole lot more flies or bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And debating people is not correct in this respect. I don't want to belabor that one long because that is not my subject tonight. I'm merely speaking about the Jesus of Islam and the Jesus of Christianity that I understood, that I knew about. And it was through this Jesus that I actually came into Islam, because I never felt that I wanted to leave the religion of my people and go out looking for a new religion. In fact, I was trying to get closer and closer to the God in my religion of Christianity, and I felt that I was able to achieve that only one way, and that was by looking to Jesus to see what he did and what he said. And what did he say? And according to the Bible, he said, God will be done on earth. So I began to pray that, oh God, your will, not my will, be done. We found also that in Gethsemane, when Jesus is supposed to have been praying in Gethsemane, and he was crying out to God, and he was crying, and he was having people posted at various places around the garden to protect them, because they knew that they were going to be accosted that night. They knew that the Jewish Sanhedrin, or the Majlis Shura of the Sanhedrin, were coming for them, and they were going to have quite an altercation. They were prepared. He'd already told them, if you don't have a sword, this is the time to sell your coat and buy a sword, and this is the time to pick up your sword and be ready to fight. And so they were ready for that. And yet he was praying in Gethsemane, and he would look up to God and he would cry, and they said that his tears were coming and sweat was coming from him, like blood rolling down in heavy droplets coming down from him, and that he was saying, oh God, let this cup pass from me. And when you say that, means I don't want to take a drink out of this cup. Please don't force me to do this. But even so, thy will be done. And so even in this, the thing that he doesn't want, he's still saying God's will, God's will. So it's clear from there that he did not want what was going to happen. Well, that's an amazing statement, because if you know that Jesus doesn't want this thing, then how can you say it's a good thing for you and he didn't want it to happen? But even so, he's willing to accept it from God. And then we have a strange thing that's narrated in two different Gospels. That the one on the cross says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? This doesn't sound like the person who's all happy with the plan of salvation. It sounds to me like somebody who is very upset, distraught, and very unhappy with the way things have worked out. Especially when these are his dying words. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me here alone? Why have you deserted me? This doesn't sound like somebody that's real happy. I'm sorry. But the Quran is clear on this subject as well. And in future programs, I hope, inshallah, we'll have the opportunity to continue this and talk about more of it. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We broadcast live right here every Saturday and every Sunday night. Inshallah, we're going to be trying to do them all at the same time at 7 o'clock. And I hope, inshallah, that we'll be able to continue this special series this week while I'm stranded here in the snow in Northern Virginia. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, reminding you that Allah is our Elah. He's our God, and he's the only God, and he is Ahad. He is unique, and he is As-Salam. He is the peace. So I leave you as I greeted you, and that is in the Salam. Salam alaikum Rockman's moved out to a very pastor. This is on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. You'll find our website open 24 hours a day. And always plenty of free parking, even if it's in the snow. Salaam alaikum. So, inshallah, ask Sister Layla if she gives permission to try to broadcast tomorrow at 7, inshallah. Salaam alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.